Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 8 this morning. Psalm 8. We're going to read the entire chapter 8. We're going to read it responsively. So I'm going to read verse 1, and then you'll join me in reading verse 2. I'll read verse 3, and then you'll join me in reading verse 4. All the way through, and we'll read together verse 9. Is that clear as mud? Psalm 8 this morning, we'll get it. Psalm 8 this morning, please stand to your feet if you would in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Psalm 8, and I'll begin verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Together. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger, me. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Together, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity we have this week of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to you, our Heavenly Father. How good you've been to us. Even if it's been a rough year, you've been good to us. God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and our lives today from the message from the Word of God. Bless all that's said and done. God, do a mighty work today, we ask. And Father, lastly, if there's somebody in this room or on the internet today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would accept him and trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I need to give you a disclaimer this morning. This is what I'm about to do is a 30-year tradition at Shasta Baptist Church, over 30 years. It's called the Thanksgiving meal. You say, what's it got to do with anything? Just hold tight. If you came for a reverend type of deal, you got in the wrong church today. Some years back, I don't know, it was over 30 years ago, we started talking about this, and it's just kind of traditional in our church, so bear with us. What I want to do is help you get ready for Thanksgiving. Can you smell the roast turkey? Even when you walk by the freezer section in the grocery store and there are dead, naked, frozen birds laying there, you can still smell the roast turkey. Now let me say a few things about turkey to begin with. Number one, leave it alone. No soybean turkeys. No tofurkey. If you put it on the table and it wiggles, you get up and go to a restaurant and eat. That's God already made something that's shaped like a turkey. It's called a turkey. All right? So leave the turkey thing alone. Number two, cage-free turkeys, organic. Can you think of anything more cruel than a cage-free turkey? Let the thing go out there and eat grasshoppers for a couple of days. You're still going to cut his head off, gut him, and eat him. So far as I'm concerned, you're getting his hopes built up. So you want one of these free range, cage-free turkeys? That's a sad turkey in that wrapper right there because he was thinking he dodged the bullet. The guy in the cage has got no hope anyway. That's the turkey you should be eating. All right, so let's just then. Number next, listen to me, people. The diet thing is off. It's off. For some of us, it was never on. But for some of us, it's off. Don't go into Thanksgiving Day eating celery sticks and carrot parts and stuff like that. Serious, dieting is not good for anybody. You know how to spell the word diet? You know how to spell the word diet? All right, spell it with me out loud when I tell you and stop when I tell you to stop. You ready? Spell it. D-I-E. Stop. You see, that's what tells you something right there. You don't want to go into Thanksgiving Day watching your weight. I'm watching mine. I got it right out here where I can keep an eye on it. That right there, listen to me now. Listen to me. You want one of these going into Thanksgiving. Come here. Come here, son. Stand right up here. See this right here? This boy needs work. Stick your tongue out. You look like a zipper. He's so skinny. It's terrible. So if this kid goes in and eats like he should on Thanksgiving, he'll probably hurt himself. So skinny, no. There's 17 verses on being fat in the Bible. Not one on being skinny. You say, well, Pastor, okay, thank you. Go sit down. Get a hamburger. Say, but Pastor Johnson, isn't it gluttony? Now, every year I have to teach you this theological lesson. Gluttony is overeating by accident. Eating properly is whatsoever thy hand findeth, put it in thy mouth. There's somewhere in the Bible, I know it is, we'll find it. Now, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, if you need scripture, be ye also enlarged. It's in the Bible, look it up. I'm quoting the Bible, right from the Bible. So, when the day of Thanksgiving comes, you need to kind of have a little momentum, okay? If you want to eat all that diet junk, go ahead. But a couple days before, you better get it rolling. I'm just trying to help you. You're going to sit there and get on the plate with a little of this, a little of that, and do one of those numbers. You're going to have a lousy Thanksgiving. I'm having a good time. I'm preparing now. I've been preparing for like 60 years. So we're getting there. The day of Thanksgiving comes. And they start cooking that bird tomorrow. Who was the first person who ever looked at a turkey and said, I think I'll take a bunch of wet bread and stuff it in that bird and eat it? Who was the first person? Whoever thought of that. Whoever looked at a turkey and said, I'm going to pull the feathers off that dude, rip off his feathers, pull out his guts, cut off his head, stuff him full of wet bread, stick him in an oven, cook him and eat him. Who was the first guy that ever thought of that? Have you ever considered that? Who's the first person that ever looked at a cow and said, I'm going to squeeze them things down there and drink whatever comes out? Who's the first person that thought of that? Who's the first person that ever looked at a chicken and said, well, that thing that just came out of that chicken, I'm going to eat that? Who was the first guy? I don't know, we do it, but who's the first? Okay, never mind. So Thanksgiving morning, the oven's going, and you wake to the aroma of roasting turkey. They say it has a chemical in it called tryptophan. It helps to mellow you out and to relax you and that sort of thing. Now, if they're doing it right, they got a turkey and a ham going. Oh, yeah. Now, one of them nasty chunk hams that come out of a can, I'm talking a Virginia sugar-cured smoked ham that still has a hair on it. Then you peel all that stuff off, and then you prep it and get it ready, right? You cut the crisscrosses in the fat on the ham. You put pineapple slices in there with maraschino cherry in the center of it, huh? Can I get a witness on that one this morning? And then you put little cloves dotted all around that ham that look like ISIS fighters you catch out in the desert with a Marine Black Hawk helicopter. And you nuke them, and they're kind of like, they stick them in the side of that ham. And you got the ham bacon, and you got the turkey bacon. And now the aroma of the ham and the turkey come out, and you realize why God gave you two nostrils so you can smell the turkey on one side and the ham on the other side. And while they're in there baking all this food, you know, you watch football and they got snack stuff. Which is all right. The snack stuff just keeps the jaws working while you're waiting to get to the main course. And they're in there making the meat. Oh, and they're making mashed potatoes. Enough mashed potatoes to fill the back of a 56 Buick. I'm talking mashed potatoes. And sweet potatoes, yes? Sweet potatoes or yams with apple slices and pecans in there or pecans. And then you put marshmallows on top of it and you bake it and it gets that little crusty thing on top of that right there. Jello salad. Let me say a word about salad. Leaves. Why are you putting salad on the table? What is the point? Salad.
Well, you need something healthy.
No, you don't. Use it for decorations. But don't put lettuce out there and expect us to eat lettuce on Thanksgiving. I mean, lettuce, people, leaves, honestly, with a little vinaigrette on it. I mean, honestly, is that really a part of the program? Not on Thanksgiving. Do it the next day afterwards, whatever you want to do. No leaves. And let me also say, ladies, listen to me carefully. I'm sorry if we don't remember or notice your decorations. You know, you got the cornucopia there with all the stuff hanging out of it, and you got a little placemats with all there, and then their little turkey with the paper turkey with everybody's name on it. And I never did understand the two-fork thing till finally I figured out what the two-fork thing was, the big fork and the little fork. The big fork is for your strong hand, and the little fork is for your weak hand. So if the big hand gives out, the little one picks in until the big one gets some rest. And so you got two fists. I got that part of it. And then they got all the, I'm sorry we don't notice gold trim plates and the little thing underneath it that's part of the, used to be the San Diego Chargers, whatever you call that thing. And I'm sorry we don't notice all that because we're men, we don't care. We really don't. I know you do that for the, you know, you ever eat decorations? I've never eaten a decoration. I got close. I've never eaten a decoration. We don't care. Put it on the plate, get the plates out, and let's eat it. Now, let's talk about the plates. And I have with me today my own plate carrier. It's perfect. Julie Lewis made this for me. Did you see it, Brother Evans? Huh? Now, what they do when they set the table is they give you these... They give you these little plates. And I always think, what am I supposed to do with that? And I know it matches everything, and the cups match the fork and the spoon and the knives and the napkins are in those things with the ring on them that you never touch or use anyhow. And then they give you these little squirrely plates. And then they what they do is they give the turkey the good plate. The turkey's dead. He doesn't care what you put him on. You could take a piece of plywood and paint it and put it on the table. The turkey's not going to raise up and go, what's with the board? You give him this really good plate. Look at this plate. It's got a well in it and everything. You only have to make like one trip. But they give him a little squirrely plates. You got to keep going and going to load it up. It's disgusting. The turkey doesn't need this plate. We need this plate. Yes. So they're making the mashed potatoes and they got stuffing, different kinds of stuffing. Maybe you like cornbread stuffing. Maybe you like sourdough stuffing. There's an Italian stuffing. It's got sausage in it. Say, which one do you like? Yes. And then they got Jell-O salad stuff that kind of looks nice, but, you know, it tastes good. And they got maybe some vegetables. You can put green beans on the table, but please put enough bacon in there to kill the taste so that you can actually eat the green beans. Then you take your plate. Now, if you got one of these, you take your plate and you make your reservoir of mashed potatoes right over here on this side, and you fill it with gravy. Can I get a witness on that one right there? That's good right there. So then you got sourdough rolls, right? Or rolls of some kind. Even the nasty brown and serve jobs that only come out at Thanksgiving that peel apart. Stick of butter in between there works good. Whatever. You got a couple rolls going over here. You got your gravy, mashed potatoes. I put my dressing right in the gravy like that. Then you got your turkey and you got your ham and all this stuff and you got everything. Now, when you get together and it's time to have the meal, of course you want to give thanks. You do not want to stand, all the food's on the table, you want to stand around and hold hands and everybody give something they're thankful for. That's a waste of time. And I don't care if you're thankful for your stinking puppy dog. I don't care. I don't care if you're thankful that your aunt lives in Missouri. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. Everybody standing there holding hands talking about stuff. See, aren't you thankful, Pastor Johnson? Get up in the morning and do that. Do it over cereal, but not when the food is on the table. No! You're wasting. And when you pray, don't call some dude who hasn't prayed since last year. And he's going to get caught up in one prayer. Oh, thou God of gods and God of gods and God of gods and gods. He doesn't even know who he's talking to. Oh, thou God of Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and all the Boam boys, and God bless Jehoshaphat and all the fed people. And then he starts naming everybody in China by their first name, and he doesn't even know who these people are, and he's going to get all caught up on his prayer life. You want to do it right, you get a three-year-old. He'll bow his head, and he'll say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. That's real. See, God's into reality, people. He's into the truth of it all. That way you can get on to the food, and then you start eating, and you poke one of those, that some of that turkey, and you run it down through. That's why I put the dressing in the gravy. You run it past some mashed potatoes, pick up some dressing and gravy on that fork like that, and just on the way to your mouth, your taste buds line up back there in full attention, ready to go. And as soon as you put that bite in your mouth, and all the savory taste of the roast turkey and I'll get there, and the dressing and the gravy and all of it, and if it's seasoned properly, well, not much salt. But don't do that either. Don't make it so salty you can't eat it, but don't put something on there with not any salt on it. Man, as soon as you put that bite in your mouth, your taste buds go from attention to Pentecostal, brother. I mean, they just get, yahoo! Yes! And then you start eating. And you just say, when do you stop eating? Well, I'll tell you when you stop eating. A couple things. Number one, when you can't see across the table anymore. People over there get kind of fuzzy. It used to be when you couldn't reach the table any longer because your gut was pushing you back. However, we live in America. This is making America great again. You can eat long distance. You can say, is that a cockroach on the wall? And when someone looks, you reach over on their plate and you get your little food on that one over there. Don't you love this country? We live in a great country. And you eat. Then after a while, you get up and you go to the living room. And about that time, it's one of these. And you just kind of get up and you back up. And while you're heading for the couch, if your cell phone goes off and starts beeping, one of the kids will go, watch out, he's backing up! And you head toward the couch and you just sort of plop yourself down on the couch. You say, well, it's miserable. Yeah, but it's a good misery. It's a good misery. Your gut starts cutting the circulation off to your legs. But here, look at me. You don't need TV trays. If you do it right, you got it right there. It's right there. And you put the remote right here. Diet Coke. Because you drink Diet Coke. Why? I have no idea. Kind of balances everything out. And if you do it right, you got enough chins right now. More chins in the Chinese phone book. Amen. You got enough chins right here to change channels. You don't have to use your hand. You just go. And you can change channels. That's why you need one of them 94-inch television sets, because you couldn't see it without it with it being that big anyhow. And while you're sitting there, you kind of... And then someone goes, dessert! And you go, oh yeah, here we go, here we go. And you get up and you waddle back into the kitchen. And they've cleaned the table off, and they brought out all the desserts. All the pies. Cherry pie. I said cherry pie. I said pumpkin pie. Now look at me, and if you're really sanctified, you got sweet potato pie. Maybe a chocolate pie and stuff like that if you like chocolate. Cheesecake. Right? So you got all these different kinds. Apple pie, Dutch apple pie, crisscross apple pie, apple pie, apple pie. And that plate they try to make you eat dinner off of, that's a dessert plate. That's perfect. Right? Because then you make yourself, you go get all slices of all of it, one each, and you put it on your plate and make yourself a pie on the plate of all the different pieces. Then you get the ice cream, vanilla ice cream, that comes in the little cardboard wrapper, the square half gallon or whatever that thing is. Use those, and you just unwrap it, and then you go and throw it right on top of there, the whole thing. Hit it with some whipped cream, some nuts, and some cherries. That kind of thing. Get your fork, go back in there, and then again, you got your TV tray. You just put it right there, and you eat your dessert. And then about the time you start to wander off into the Holy Land, someone says, sandwiches! And you get up and you head back in the kitchen, and they clean the table off again. They bring out white bread, just old-fashioned, nasty white bread you never eat any other time of the year. They got the sliced turkey and the ham, and then the cranberry sauce. Now, I like cranberry sauce that's jellied. You folks that make that gourmet stuff that's got pesto in it and all that kind of junk, I like the one shaped like a can. That's the one I want. Because then you just cut slices of it, put it on bread with mayonnaise, your turkey, salt and pepper, a load of Fritos, and a glass of milk, because you're going to want milk about that time. and a glass of milk, and you do that. And about 11 o'clock at night, they say pizza, and you eat again. Now, this morning, since we've talked about Thanksgiving, let's talk about why we should be thankful. Why? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, of course we know why, because the Bible commands it. Yes, it is commanded, but there are reasons why. See, ladies and gentlemen, when God told us to be thankful, He understood not only how important it was for us, but by the way, we know who to be thankful to, don't we? Do we? Do we have to cover that this morning? Do we have to ask you, okay, and I wonder who you should be thankful to? There are a lot of people to be thankful, but if I say the one to whom we should be thankful, that should stand out pretty clear to us, yes? The government. I mean, aren't we thankful for, no. No. First thought in our mind, the first person we speak to on our lips should be the God of heaven. So we know who we should be. And do we know what we should be thankful for? Yes, any and every one of His blessings in our lives and all the blessings of God. And God has been very good to us. You would agree? Okay, good. Now, so we got the who, and now we got the what. So let's talk about, but why? Look at Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 3 now this morning. Here's this great psalm, and I don't know if you ever memorized this. It's 9 simple verses. This is a great worship testimony psalm. No doubt David, who was a shepherd boy, maybe when he was shepherding, David, who became a soldier and fought Goliath and killed him and fought many battles for God. Maybe this was when he wrote this. I don't know. Maybe it was when David was a sovereign. He was king of Israel, sitting in the palace and looking out across the parapet and seeing what God had done. And then God gave him this eighth psalm. O Lord, our Lord, verse 1, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, look at me. You know why we ought to be thankful? Because it shows that we have some consideration of what God's doing around in us and around our lives. Consideration. Yesterday, we flew back home yesterday afternoon. As soon as I got stuff unpacked quickly, I went and made hospital visits. Went to see Evelyn Sales. Miss Sales has had a massive stroke. She'll be in heaven almost guaranteed before Thanksgiving. And you know something, dear people? She, you know, how many of you know Evelyn Sales? She's one of God's sweetest people on this planet. And I walked into her hospital room, and she didn't know who I was. She couldn't recognize or acknowledge anything. The stroke has just basically wiped everything out, and it's just matter of hours now before she goes to heaven. I called her name. I spoke to her for a moment. And then I said, You're close to home, aren't you? You're close to home. You're almost there. Put my hand on her little head and I prayed for her. We have a lot of good folks went to heaven this year. You know that? Walked out of the hospital, went to another hospital, made another visit there. Somebody recovering. Now listen. And it was about, 5 o'clock, 5:30, something like that. As I was driving out on Eureka Way, headed west out of Reading, I looked up, and God did a most incredible sunset last night. Did you see it? Young people, I know it's not like a video game, but that was like real. Seriously? I know we need to look at our telephone all the time. But as I drove away from those two hospitals, I thought to myself, you know, Lord, God's people, they really have their battles and their struggles. And then when I looked up, there against that azure blue sky, God took the paintbrush of His omnipotence and He painted something that would shame Michelangelo or Rembrandt. And it only lasted for a few minutes. Made me think back when I was in the service and one of the Thanksgivings I spent away from home up in the Arctic. And you would have seasons where there'd be 24-hour darkness, 2 or 3 months, and 24-hour daylight, 2 or 3 months. Then there'd be seasons of regular day and dark. But between the change of the seasons, you'd get sunrises or sunsets that would last weeks. And it reminded me of that time when I was in Greenland. It was changing to 24-hour darkness, and it had snowed, and it was coarse. It was very cold, and the sun was setting, and it just hung there. It just stayed there on the horizon for, I think, 2.5 weeks. The brightness and the brilliance against the azure blue sky and what God had done, it reminded me of that work. And yesterday, and I thought, you know, that's just going to be there for me. And I called my wife right quick. I said, babe, look outside now. Look, go see that sunset on the west side, if you would. And for just a moment, now listen, for just a moment, God washed His creation in the most beautiful colors. Listen, and then it was gone. And darkness came. And I considered for a moment, Evelyn Sales is going to pass over and step from this life to the next, but it'll just be a moment. And then eternal day. And whatever it is we do in this life and however it is we go in this life, ladies and gentlemen, it'll just be for this life. And consideration to be thankful simply means this. We are willing to stop and acknowledge and appreciate and understand. And yes, my friend, look at what God has done and how the work of God is done, and realize and understand how it works. And we look at it and consider that God, He not only put that sunset to encourage my heart and to help me that day, but He also reminded me this is just a moment, just like anything else in this life. It's just a moment. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's just a moment. We pass from this life to the next. It's just a moment. And God, for just a moment, not just for Mike Johnson, God put something in the skies to remind me, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. When I consider the work of Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast made, what is man that art mindful of him? And I was thinking him last night as I was driving home, how he put that there and reminded me that the suffering of that dear lady and the other soul I saw in the hospital and those dear loved ones today are going to have their first Thanksgiving without a loved one at their table. It reminds me that it's just for this moment. And I thought, you know, God has a way of stepping into our lives and just touching us for a moment. But if we're not careful, we won't consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. If we're not careful, we won't consider the hand of God that reaches down to touch our lives. If we're not careful, we'll just go on like life is just life and there's no good to it. It's all bad and there's nothing right about it. And we're not careful, we won't consider the things that God does. See, He wants us to be thankful because it reminds us, it helps us to realize you need to consider the work of God. You need to consider the hand of God. You need to consider that while life can get our head down sometimes, the Bible calls it the hands hang down and the feeble knees, etc. We have those days, but you know something? God says it's just this moment. It's just here. It's just this life. It's just for now, and it's not forever. And God's hand is there. Do you consider that today? Have you considered reasons for which you should be thankful today? So I don't know if I've ever thanked Him for a sunset. Then you're missing something. I don't know if I've ever thanked Him for much anything in my life. I mean, I pray before I eat and stuff, but frankly, you know, I don't know. Look at me. That's your problem. See, we think thankfulness is just for God, and He deserves every bit of thankfulness we can give Him. I said He deserves every bit of thankfulness we can give Him. Yeah, yes, He does. But look at me, thankfulness is also for you. It helps you to realize that it shows that you have consideration of what God is doing, what God has done. Oh, unless you're one of those people that you consider what's going on in your life and all you see is bad, all you see is trouble, all you see is the lack of consideration of others, all you see is your health, all you see is your problems, all you see is your troubles. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand how that besets upon a person at a time. I know full well how that works. But don't you see when Jesus told His disciples in Matthew, consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither they spin. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, he had told them to go and preach the gospel to places they'd never been before. To us, that's not a big deal. But to them, you just didn't go somewhere and go do something without consideration of where you're going to live, where you're going to eat, what you're going to do. And he was saying, now, gentlemen, stop a moment. You're getting all concerned about yourselves. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He said, consider the grass, how it grows. And he was telling him, look around at what God has done for just creation. Don't you think, he said, aren't you more important than these? Yeah, I'll tell you the why we ought to be thankful. Because it shows we have a consideration of things, of what God has done and what God is doing. Well, sometimes I have a hard time seeing that. Now look at me this morning. Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you considered the matter of your salvation lately? Have you even thought about that? Well, I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved since I was a 9-year-old boy. But I think about it regularly. I think about how amazing it is to me that God loved me so much he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, dipped his soul into death, and rose again 3 days and three nights later. Yeah, I've heard that before. I have too, but I still consider it. I still consider it amazing that I have salvation. I consider it amazing that grace is still coming. It's amazing to me. We ought to be thankful because it shows consideration. Number two, we ought to be, the why of our thankfulness is because it demonstrates our character. Anybody can be thankful in a moment, which most people are not. They just, you know, look at me. They just get stuff, take stuff, do things, go on. Yesterday on the airplane, every time a stewardess would come by and do something for us, we'd always say thank you. And I listened to how many people did the same thing. Very few would just say thank you. Well, that's their job. No, that's your problem. That's your problem. Your problem is you think everything you get, you deserve. When the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, look at me, it's a matter of character. In a moment, we can be thankful. But how about somebody who's thankful for the same thing year in and year out? You know, Thanksgiving was instituted by Abraham Lincoln, our president, 16th president, for America to be a thankful nation after we survived, if you want to call it that. The war where Americans killed Americans by the multiplied hundreds of thousands. That we needed to have a time of national thanksgiving. And I'm glad we have a day of thanksgiving in America, but I hope that's not the only day we are thankful. We've had leaders in our country, in the White House, who won't even express thanks to God. They talk about thanksgiving, but they won't talk about God. Because we have to be politically correct. We have to be polytheistic. We have to be considerate of everybody's religion and type. And we ought to be considerate of it. But look at me. United States of America is still one nation under, and that's the big G God of the Bible. Huh? That ain't Muhammad. That's not Islam. No. That's not Buddha. That's not Confucius. Uh-uh. No, that's not the Hindu 330 million gods. That's the big God, the big G God. All in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God who allowed this nation to exist. That's the one to whom we should be thankful. And the truth is, I would hope that day by day we realize that our God has blessed us. He blessed us with the strength to get up. He blessed us with the strength to go. He blessed us with the strength to go on. He blessed us with the strength to do what we do. He blessed us with our provision. He put a roof over our head and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and food in our stomachs. He blessed us, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? A person with character realizes every day we have reason to be thankful to God. So on this airplane, this couple got on the plane behind us with this little boy. How old would you say that little boy was, babe? 2 years old, maybe 3 years old, something like that. Little towhead little boy. They put him in the seat beside the window. This three, four, maybe it was three or four, I don't know. This little boy sitting there with his parents, people getting on the airplane. It was Friday before Thanksgiving. So the plane is packed. The people getting on the plane. And they all look like they're desperate. Like the plane's going to leave without them. Look, if you're in the aisle, you're going. So don't panic. And this little boy was sitting there and he kept saying, same phrase, we're going to go flying. We're going to go flying. We're going to go flying. He kept saying the same thing. Mama, we're going to go flying. She said, yes, sweetheart, look out the window, watch the airplanes. Mama, we're going to go flying. Mama, we're going to go flying. After about the 12th time, it started to get kind of irritating, to be honest with you. And then he stopped and he went, praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him. Praise him till the sun go down. And I was excited about the peanuts. He was just excited about being on an airplane. When it taxied and it took off, he was excited about it. In fact, it took off. I was too. 85% of crashes happen at takeoff and landing. I'm always glad when we get up in the air. Flying's never a problem. It's crashing you got to worry about. Remember that. And he looked out that window. Oh, he was amazed at how things looked different up in the sky. See, he was a sweet little guy, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He sat right behind my wife, and for an hour and 15 minutes, he kicked the back of her seat. I thought he was cute. She wanted to kill him. But the aggravator. So how come your stories never turn out right, Pastor Johnson? I don't know. It was cute on the praising part. But then I kept singing that song while I was sitting there. Praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Did again last night late when I went to bed. Went to bed at 9:30 last night. I was tired. Went to bed at 9:30 last night. Got up this morning. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. You ought to be thankful if you got any kind of character about you at all. We shouldn't have to be reminded to be thankful. We do. I like to say I'm always thankful for everything. No, I'm not. I was in rush hour traffic in Southern California. I was not thankful. I just said, Lord, could I get a rocket-propelled grenade launcher? I could clear me an alley right down through this freeway. That would be fantastic. No. We ought to be thankful. And the reason why is because it demonstrates our character. And character people have a gratitude attitude. And the why of thankfulness, lastly, is this, because it proves our condition. You know Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfulness is a spiritual condition. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, as you know in verse 18, verse 19, 20, and 21 are the three evidences you're filled. And one of them is, look at me, you're giving thanks always for all things. Is it automatic? You know what it is? It's a byproduct. It's an effulgence. How about that word? It's an effulgence of the Spirit of God working in your life. I hope that fits. A Spirit-filled child of God is a thankful child of God. Yeah, it is. That's why he wants us to be thankful. Because I got to work on it. We do. There's a character part of being thankful. I agree. But there's also a condition of thankfulness that stems from the fact that the Spirit of God fills you, controls you, uses you, works in your life, and he produces in you a thankful attitude that you're thankful always for all things. Unto God and the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not wasting your time thinking a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any difference. You're thankful to God. You're thankful to his son Jesus that gave you salvation. It stems from a spiritual condition that just comes out of you. You can't help but hold it back. You want to be thankful. Don't you see, friend, we come to a time right before Thanksgiving in our country. We always talk about being thankful. Maybe we ought to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Huh? Maybe I'll talk about living such a life that you live a godly life where the Holy Spirit can control you. It's not a miracle and it's not some second work of God, my friend. It's quite simple. You love him and live in his purpose. The Spirit of God controls you, and when he does, you are thankful always for all things. Yeah, he says, here, I'll tell you why you ought to be thankful. It proves the condition of your heart and your life. Oh, one more thing, finish, look. And you know where that thankful thing comes from? comes from someone who's penning that while he's in prison. Two-thirds of your New Testament was written from prison. While he's in prison with no hope and no help and no chance to live, he talks about being filled with the Spirit of God, being thankful always for all things. You go to Philippians, he's in prison again. And what is he doing? He's saying, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I always say, Paul was never in Texas. Sorry, brother. Paul was never in Texas. He was never in Jersey. No, that's not location. That's a contentment with where God puts you and how he puts you there. Stand our feet, please, this morning.